This is a CKTZ News Update. BC Ferries Director of Climate Change Policy, Frank Camerer, says 98% of greenhouse gas emissions by the fleet come from its 39 vessels. He says that in the past year, BC Ferries removed the equivalent of 3,000 vehicles from roads by introducing a blend of environmentally friendly biodiesel with conventional fuels to power some of its larger ships, thereby reducing emissions. Camerer says it's all part of BC Ferries' Clean Futures Plan.
Our first plan was produced in 2019, and now we have a second version, or an update to it, produced just a few weeks ago in 2022. And really the aim of the plan is to lay out our strategy, how we're going to achieve our objectives to reduce our carbon footprint, really to take emissions out of our operation. So there are two goals, and these goals align with British Columbia's objectives as well. So our first key milestone is 2030, where we hope to reduce our emissions by 27% of what they were in 2008. And then our second goal, major goal if you wish, is to reach net zero emissions by 2050. So the plan, the objective of the plan is to lay that out and to explain how we're going to get there.
Okay, now where through BC Ferries operations are the most greenhouse gases emitted?
It's almost all from our vessels. So 98% of our greenhouse gas emissions come from our ferries. So that's where the focus for reduction is mostly right now.
Now, your news release says that the equivalent of 3,000 cars were taken off the road last year. Tell us how that's come about.
When we renew our contract, our fuel contract with our main supplier, which is Parkland Fuel out of Burnaby, they propose to us these different lower carbon products that they have. And so there's two of them. One of them is biodiesel and one of them is renewable diesel. They're different products themselves, but they're both biomass based, if you wish. And so we went through a process where we did a risk assessment. We assessed is that fuel going to be compatible with our engines and with our operations and so on. So we went through a whole process that included ourselves, that included equipment manufacturers, our engine manufacturers, the regulators, and so on. And we gave it a thumbs up. And so we gradually started on the Queen of Oak Bay, which travels between Nanaimo and Horseshoe Bay. That vessel went from its normal fuel, which is a 5% blend, B5 we call it. It went from B5 to B10, B15, and B20. So currently, Queen of Oak Bay is operating with a blend of 20% biodiesel and 80% conventional diesel, if you wish.
And as far as the biodiesel goes, what is the actual source or the raw form of that gets processed into a usable fuel?
The product we're using right now, I'm not 100% sure, to be honest with you, what the exact source is. But typically, it's usually a plant-based, it could be soy-based. Sometimes there's animal fat involved and so on. But it depends what is produced by the refinery. And I could follow up with you if you wanted to have more specifics. I would have to just speak to our refinery. But specifically right now, I'm not exactly sure 100%.
We hear sometimes, you know, with smaller vehicles and stuff, people using like old used vegetable fats and things like that.
Correct. No, that is true. But in our case, it's significantly more refined than that. But the base is the same. It's all bio-based, vegetable-based, yes.
Right. I know some of your vessels are aging, and even the ones that undergoing this retrofit with the biofuels, Queen of Oak Bay and so forth, I know, I think she's about 40 to 50 years old already, but I understand from the officers operating the ships that there's absolutely no difference in the performance of those vessels using this biofuel.
So with the biodiesel, the one on the Queen of Oak Bay, we've had to take certain precautions. That's the one we're a little bit more cautious about. For example, one of the properties of biodiesel, it acts like a cleaning agent. Like you said, these vessels are old, and some of the fuel pipes and fuel tanks may be a little bit dirty over time. And so we had a really good cleaning of these, as much as we could anyway, of the tanks and pipes. And when we started to operate on the biodiesel 10%, so the B10, a lot of residue was cleaned out of the pipes and was clogging our filters a little bit. But we were expecting that. So we had extra maintenance done. We had extra filters on board, and we dealt with all of it. And once the system's cleaned up, then really it's a non-issue. We went to B15 and B20, and it's been seamless on the Queen of Oak Bay. On the Queen of Surrey, if I might add there, Greg, as well, we're using a different product called renewable diesel. And the feedstock is the actually pretty identical, same idea, biomass as a renewable diesel, but it's treated in a different way. And the product you have at the end is essentially identical to diesel. And you can literally drop that fuel in your tanks, in your pipes, in your engine without any, you don't have to do anything at all. They refer to it as a drop-in fuel. It just acts identical as your conventional diesel. So that is a fantastic product, that one.
Okay, now moving on to the six newish hybrid ferries, the island-class ferries. Some of them, I believe, speaking with your spokesperson, Deborah Marshall, that at least four of them are in service right now. And how are those working out so far?
I think we're extremely pleased with these vessels right now. They're quite versatile, and they're, depending on the route, they work in a, they do operate in a hybrid mode as much as we can to minimize their fuel consumptions and minimize their emission as well.
Yeah, no, I understand that the goal is to have them operating mainly on the electrical component to power the engines, but that some retrofit will be required at the docking facilities so they can charge. Do you have any idea what the timeline is for all of that and when they can be operating more on the electrical capacity?
So we have a proposal right now in place to convert some of these vessels to being full electrical. And it's going through an approval process right now. We were last year, or even earlier this year, we were hoping to get federal funding to help us cover the cost of the conversion, because it's not cheap. It's a bit expensive to make these vessels full electrical. Not so much just on the vessel, Greg. It's ashore. It's to bring the electrical capacity to the terminal to be able to charge, and it's also the technology to transfer that electrical energy and charge up the batteries on board the vessel. The power transfer between shore and ship is also a bit of a challenge, but it is doable. So we do have a project online right now to convert that. It's not approved yet. It's not 100% sure it will be approved. It's going through a process right now. We also hope, our plan, I should say, not hope, we also plan to build an island class phase three, so a new phase of four island class vessels that we hope to build again, and those would be built fully electric from the get-go.
Oh, any sense of, if all goes well, any sense of when they would come on stream?
I think it would be looking at 2026 right now is the plan. Nothing is cast in stone, so I just want to caveat that, but I think we're looking at sometime in 2026.
Wow. Now, of course, here on Cortez, we need to also travel first to Quadra Island and then connect with the ship there that goes between Quadra and Campbell River to get to Vancouver Island, our largest urban area. Now, I understand training actually is underway for a crew, which has been a struggle to, I know, crew throughout the fleet this entire year, but that training is going to begin in the next couple of months for staff to be fully familiar with those vessels. And do you feel that the timeline for getting those two vessel service with using those new hybrid ferries will actually happen late this year or early next year?
Greg, I don't have an answer for you on that one, but I can follow up if you'd like to. I just did not look up that one ahead of our interview, so I'm not sure if there's any changes in plan right now or not.
But yeah, of course, citizens on Quadra and on Cortez are very keen to get that two-ferry system running between Campbell River and Quadra, because this the overloads have been horrendous, and it's not only in the summer, it's just any time of the year, so we're looking forward to it.
I know it's in the, and I'm reviewing as we speak, I'm reviewing our recent submission to the commissioner for our performance term 6, and I was just reading through it before we connect here, and I see that in the near term, the plan is to add a round trip during peak season between Quadra and Cortez, and in the medium term is to deploy an island-class vessel to replace the T-Check. Of course, they're significantly larger in capacity. That's in the plan right now, but if you want some more specifics.
Okay, that's interesting news, just that one of the island-class vessels may replace the T-Check between Quadra and Cortez.
That's correct. That's what our plan calls for.
Greg Osoba, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.